Welcome to the Once Upon a Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, Josh Kimmel, Dave Campbell, and Justin Bowerly.
Welcome to the Once Upon a Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Josh. With me is Justin. We are not here with Dave Campbell. He is out and about living his life. Doesn't want to show up to work today. That's okay.
It's fine.
It's okay. We're here.
It's fine.
You know, last Wednesday I wasn't here, right? Last Wednesday was the week I missed.
You were not here. Correct.
I had a lot of people asking me, where were you, Josh? We really missed you. We really needed you. We needed some intelligence on the show. I'm kidding.
You said that.
I kid, but they did miss me. So I appreciate your well wishes, everyone. I'm fine. I wasn't dead. I was just sick. I did have some people reach out.
But you did bounce out of here at like 7:58. You're like, guys, I can't do it. I'm out. And then just clicked out. We're like, okay.
Well. I was miserable. What do you mean to do? What do you mean to tell you? I was bad. But we're here now, and we're always here. We'll always be here till the end of time. So make sure you follow us on X, Instagram, everywhere at OUSFF pod. Don't be shaking your head. I had it.
I was just doing the X, Instagram,
Instagram, TikTok, yeah. All of it. OUSFF pod. Make sure you follow the network at Fins Talk Sports Network. You can follow me on X as well, Josh Kimmel OUS, and at Justin Bowerly. Is that it for the plugs? Because I really want to get into some fantasy football.
Let's get into fantasy.
And all you people liking our YouTube shorts that Justin's been putting together, make sure you drop a like on those videos. We're done with that. Make sure you drop a like, subscribe, share it with a friend. It really helps out the show. Major success over there on the shorts for us. Really big numbers, and we're really excited about the future of the podcast.
The sad thing is all the people that listen to those shorts, they don't hear what we just said. So, because it's not in the short, it's in the full episode. So maybe after every segment, we go like, hey, give us a thumbs up and subscribe. We'll figure it out.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know what? Justin, thanks for crapping on my point. I really appreciate it. That's what you do best. But we are here to give out the starts and sits of the week. We have a massive, massive debates coming, I believe. Maybe not.
Maybe.
Dave's not here. So there's that. But we do have some big matchups, some big names. We do have some people missing time from football. So these are major decisions. It's the playoffs. You win, you go home. No, you win, you advance. You lose, you go home.
That's it.
How do you treat leagues you're out of? How do you treat them?
I just honestly forget about them. Unless it's a dynasty, then I'll go and pick up a waiver if I need to, if I think they're going to be relevant next year. But at this point, I focus on the leagues that I'm in.
I will say this. In my home league where I missed the playoffs, where I was the top scorer, no one in the league scored 1,900 points except for one person. And that one person is me. And I'm the seventh seed, last man standing, of course, like usual, the bubble boy. That's what I am. I'm the best fantasy player of all time that doesn't make the playoffs in that league specifically. For some reason, I'm always the best that always gets. Regardless, I am so petty, I benched my entire lineup. I benched everyone. I went in there, took everyone out. I even dropped somebody because I had Jonathan Taylor on IR. I wanted to make my team whole. It's a keeper league. My commissioner, the powers to be, are very petty at the top, and they always like to come up with new rules. It's a keeper league, and these new rules are always against me because I outsmart the league. So I had Jonathan Taylor on my IR, and if I would have kept my roster the same, And at the end of the season, they would have said, Jonathan Taylor is not on your roster. Because you have to keep a player, he needs to be on your roster. He was on the IR. How petty my league
is. That's so dumb.
They want every
IR is your roster.
It's everything I do. I'm not saying that they've said this, but I'm saying they would. Everything I do, they want to combat and to just destroy me. And I don't know why. So what I did was I made a drop. And then I put Taylor in my bench spot. And then I get a text from the commissioner. Hey, and this is very passive of him, which is okay. Hey, how do I lock teams from making moves that didn't make the playoffs? This was right after my drop. I didn't drop this player for anyone else to pick him up. It was a backup running back, by the way. Eli Mitchell, who's out this week. So pettiness. So I became petty myself. That's what I did. But let's get into the starts and sits of the week. I'm done with that. Done with that league. Done.
We'll talk about quarters. Next week.
No, because I'm not looking back. I'm not looking back till next season.
Good.
I'm over that league. Anyway, we are going to talk about starts and sits of the week for quarterbacks. We want to get them up first. They're always cream of the crop. We have two juicy matchups. We have Jordan Love going against Tampa Bay. We have Matthew Stafford going against Washington. Both have been completely bananas on fire as of late. I mean, and these are the projections that you're seeing on the screen right now, projections from Fantasy Pros. Man, projected rushing yards. How do you think they calculate that?
I don't know, man. Some of these were like 4.2. I'm just going to say I rounded up and rounded down. So do that. Do with that what you want. I think like Jordan Love was projected like 0.2 rushing touchdowns. I don't know how that happens. So no rushing touchdowns. That's why I had to put total touchdowns there. So I just, you know, these are rounded except for the fantasy points. Fantasy points we don't round.
So we have Matthew Stafford going against Washington, who's been notoriously bad, and then we have Jordan Love going into or actually hosting Tampa Bay. Where their season's on the lines, both Green Bay and Tampa Bay, so that's going to be a tough matchup. Whereas the Rams' season is pretty much over, in my opinion, and Washington's washed. So we have a uneventful, meaningless matchup versus a very playoff contention matchup. Who are you going with this week? Who do you want to start in your round one wild card weekend fantasy playoffs?
I think this week I would lean towards Jordan Love. No.
This one's close.
This one is very close. I mean, we saw the point, fantasy points projected. We saw the touchdowns. Everything was basically identical. Actually, I'm going to go back on that. The Buccaneers have something to play for. They're going to be playing the Packers pretty hard. I think Matt Stafford's got a better chance against the Commanders because the Commanders are done. They're dead. I'm going to go with Matthew Stafford this week, not Jordan Love. Just hoping for that upside against a weak team that is pretty much just donezo.
Man, before I give you my decision, before I anger some people out there, I'm gonna break some numbers down for you guys, bring some facts, tale of the tape, as you may. Matthew Stafford is averaging 16.7 fantasy points this season. He is quarterback 20. He did miss some time. Jordan Love right now is quarterback 10, averaging 18.6, so a little over, little under 2 points better than Matthew Stafford. Now let's go into the matchups here. Tampa Bay, we'll start there. In the past 4 weeks, they've given up 1,057 passing yards, 6 touchdowns. Why do I bring up that number? The quarterbacks that they've played, Desmond Ridder, Young, Brock Purdy, and I believe Gardner Minshew. Yep, Gardner Minshew, week 12. I wouldn't say besides Purdy, yep, they played. I wrote down, in my notes, I wrote down Baker, but I know for a fact it was Gardner. Week 12 against the Buccaneers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, Gardner. Oh.
I'm saying okay. I'm giving out numbers.
The you're Buccaneers, risking the points the Buccaneers have given up. Sorry.
You're messing up the short.
I'm back on.
You're messing up the short, but that's okay. That's okay. That's what we do. Like and subscribe. Again, they went against Desmond Ridder, who threw up 347 passing yards. Bryce Young only 178. Gardner only 199. But Brock Purdy 333. When they do face, I'm not going to say elite talent, but better quarterbacks. I'm not putting Ridder in that spot because he's not. But they do give up a ton of yards. They are 8th in the league against passing. Also, week 10 through 13, Love has finished quarterback 1 each of those weeks. Last week against the Giants, he did not. Unfortunately, he had a very bad game. So that's why I'm kind of maybe leaning towards Stafford. But hold on, let me give you some more information here. In that time frame with Jordan Love, he had 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That is pretty much elite level. Name another quarterback that can do that at that time. But Jordan Love, here's his downfall, and this is why I'm going Matthew Stafford. Jordan Love is dead last against the blitz, as in he is horrendous, as in his accuracy is dead last. Like I can't tell you anymore. I can't tell you any different. Buccaneers blitz rate is the 4th in the NFL. They blitz a ton. They do get pressure. They do get to the quarterback. They have a good front 7. I feel like they're going to get in Jordan Love's face all day. They're going to make him run. They're going to make him scramble. They're going to make him make some poor decisions. Whereas Matthew Stafford, on the other hand, they're playing Washington, who is the worst passing defense in the NFL, pretty much. Actually, they're fourth. Okay, they're fourth. Whatever. But they do give up the most amount of passing touchdowns, 30 on the year. No one's cracked 30, of course. In this time where Stafford has gone bananas in the past 3 weeks, he's played Arizona. He was quarterback 7, 24.4 points. Cleveland, he was quarterback 8, 23 points. Baltimore, quarterback 5, 23.7. Cleveland and Baltimore are elite defenses against the pass, and he still lit them up and torched them with Cooper Kupp. By the way, he's back. And Puka Nacua. Give me Matthew Stafford in this matchup. They have pride to play for. Matthew Stafford will win your fantasy week, not Jordan Love. But Love's okay.
That's great. You know somebody's going to come and tell us that Love is elite and that we're terrible people and we're
stupid. We know nothing. We know nothing.
It's fine.
It's okay. I know nothing. That's a beautiful thing between me and you, viewer, hater, commenter. I know nothing.
But at least we put our face out there.
Well, not even just that. None of us know anything. We don't know anything. If we knew everything, we'd know when we're going to die. We'd make all the bets. We'd win all the money. We'd go win Powerball. If we knew everything. But we don't. But at least we do the research and we know what we're talking about somewhat. And we do miss
calls. That's good research about the blitz rate and everything like that. That is phenomenal research that I don't think... I mean, the average fantasy footballer doesn't pay attention to those things. They just go, oh, it's Jordan Love versus the Buccaneers. This is how many is projected. Matthew Stafford's projected 0.3 more, but Jordan Love is better. He's younger. He's better. He's just greater. Faster. I'm going to start Jordan Love, and then they're going to lose. And they should have started Matthew Stafford instead.
Hey, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Next matchup. We have some wide receivers on this list, and I feel bad.
We're going wide receivers. Okay, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my last.
You always do wide receivers first. Okay, it's fine.
Because running back, I go from most important to least important. That's what I do.
So next matchup, we have Rashee Rice and DJ Moore.
And I feel bad. I want to say this to the people that are viewing, to the people that are listening right now. We usually go live at 8 o'clock. So yeah. There's some people that maybe missed the show, and they're going to be disappointed. Because we do get viewers. Believe it or not, haters, we do get viewers on this channel. And I'm so sorry to all you people. I really am. I should have let you guys know personally. But anyway, make sure you follow the show. Hey, turn the notifications on, then you'll know we're live.
Yeah, they should have turned the notifications on. That's on them.
Rookie mistake. Anyway, so we have Rashee Rice or DJ Moore in this matchup. Both players are freaking on fire. If you look at the projection right here, man, how could you just hate any of these players right now? And I want to say something. You in this group chat of ours, oh, I thought DJ Moore wasn't fantasy relevant. I never said that. Who said that? He's on my home league. He's in my home league. He's one of my guys.
You know, both you and Dave say that. And then I am 100% positive the beginning of the season, I had DJ Moore ranked higher. You guys were like, nah, he's trash. He's a bum. He's not worth it. He should be drafted in like the 13th round. That's probably exaggerating. That's definitely exaggerated, but he's worth like 8th, 9th round, whatever. You guys hated on DJ Moore a lot. You know who didn't hate on DJ Moore at all this season? This guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knew he was going to score this many touchdowns? That's the difference this year, the touchdowns. He has 7 touchdowns. That was what he had last year.
How many of those are screens, too?
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's not get it twisted. He did catch a bomb on a very long, deep throw that was an offsides free play. That was nice.
Well, are you talking about the Lions game a couple weeks ago?
How about last week?
Oh, okay. Well, in the Lions game, the first time around, he also got a deep ball from Justin Fields that was just slightly overthrown. They ended up calling it back because of penalty anyway. And then they followed it up later in the game, and he caught it. So
I mean, DJ Moore's been phenomenal this season. 28% target share. You can't really, like, hate on that. I understand that, of course, preseason, you got Bustin Fields out here doing his thing, being Bustin. He can't throw the ball. Let's be honest here. He only throws the ball. You know what's funny is I was going to make a tweet, but I'm trying to be more positive on Twitter. But I was going to make a tweet after that offsides call where DJ Moore was 20 yards wide open. I was going to say, like, hey, look, it's like it's Ohio State days where everyone's just wide open and everything's easy. But I didn't want to say that. I just let it be. because it's the truth. But if we're looking at stats and we're looking at numbers, who are we going with? Who are you feeling? We have Rice against New England. We have DJ Moore versus the Browns. Two difficult matchups, per se.
So let's look at this. I mean, they're basically, again, another. You picked another identical matchup where they're basically the same. The thing here is DJ Moore and the Bears are going up against a tough Browns team. And Rashi Rice, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, they're all going to be trying to make up for last week's embarrassing loss to the Bills. They're upset. I get it. And they're going to try to score a lot. I'm going to have to lean Rashi Rice on this one. I want to say DJ Moore. I 100% want to say DJ Moore because I think he's going to score more points. But at the same time, I think Rashi Rice has got the higher ceiling. I think he's going to – he has a better chance of scoring.
I think DJ Moore is going to score more points.
That's true.
But I'm going Rashi Rice. Man, they're going to love it. They're going to love this one.
They are going to love this one. He just has a tougher matchup against the Browns defense. I don't have any of the stats, so you might convince me otherwise here when you give us all the stats breakdown.
Do you want me to do it now?
I'm just going to say it. I'm going to pick DJ Moore. I've picked DJ Moore all season. I've yet to bench DJ Moore. He's never failed me.
All right. We have Rashi Rice, who, ironically, both of these guys were in my home league where I shall not talk about anymore. Rashi Rice. I've started them both for a very long time. Since week 14, or since week 11, Rashi Rice has averaged 16.4 fantasy points per game. That's full PPR. He's had 29 targets total in the past 3 weeks, 23 catches, two touchdowns. The guy's been super involved. That's an understatement. He's been his number one target. I think he's out targeting Kelce. Don't quote me on that, but it sure does feel like it because guess what? Kelce still is on my home league as well. Disaster. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. But I believe that Rashi Rice will get a ton of targets again. He's becoming that alpha receiver in that room. I think that you're right. The Chiefs are very upset. Patrick Mahomes feels embarrassed. He was embarrassed on national TV. This amazing play that will go down as a nothing because a moron decided to go offsides, line up offsides, not even check with the ref. And everyone says it doesn't affect it, didn't matter. He was the one who scored the touchdown. He got an extra step, people. It mattered. Yeah, I say that.
If he wasn't at all involved in the play, I'd say just let it go, pick up the flag. But he literally scored the touchdown.
Yeah. You can't cheat, guys. There's no shortcuts. There's no free lunches in life, right? Something happened. You got called. So the Chiefs are going to be very upset, very FU-like. They're going to want to go in there and make some noise. Bill Belichick is down and out in his luck. There's reports out saying he's going to be replaced. The press conference was classic Bill. Hey, coach, what do you think about your future here? We're on to Kansas City. We're on to Kansas City. Did you hear that? We're on to Kansas City. So, you know, they're in shambles. DJ Moore, on the other hand, this blew my mind. This blew my mind. Since Bustin Fields has been back, DJ Moore has been wide receiver 8, 23.9 fantasy points per game. Wide receiver 8 since Bustin has been back from the injury. There was a bye week in that 4-game stretch. He's still wide receiver 8. In points per game in that time, he is wide receiver 3 behind two people. Behind, obviously, because he's 3, behind two people. Tyreek Hill and Deebo Samuel. DJ Moore is on that level right now. He is flying high. He has not been stopped. I watched that Detroit game. He destroyed that defense. He did it again in week 11. He did it in week 12 against Minnesota. He did play weak defenses in those past 3 weeks. And this is what I told you guys about Chicago and Bustin Fields last year. That 6-game run where he was phenomenal was all against bum defenses. Bum defenses. Let me repeat that. In that 6-week stretch where he went nuts and made his money, he didn't make any money because he's still going to get replaced. But that's where the fantasy experts went nuts. They didn't look at who he played. And then he fell back down to earth, back down to reality. Are we going to see that again? Because they're not playing Detroit, Minnesota in the past 3 weeks. They're playing the Browns. And they're an elite defense. We just saw Stafford blow them up. But Justin Fields is not Stafford. Let's be honest here. I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried for DJ Moore, but he does get involved. He does demand targets just as much as Rashee Rice, and he is, no matter what, the alpha in that pass-catching room. Kelsey's the alpha, whether you like it or not, in Kansas City, even though he's not acting like it right now. For that reason, I'm going DJ Moore only because he is the number one target by far and away. There's no one close on that team.
Yeah, this is where I agree with you. Since Justin Fields has been back, he's had 32 targets in three games. He is the target. He's not scored under 22 and a half points at all since Justin Fields has been back. Whether they're playing Cleveland or not, if you go back to even before Justin Fields got hurt, I mean, he put 27 up against Denver, who's got a pretty solid secondary. Not at that time, though. He put up 13 against KC, 16 against Tampa, 49 against Washington. He still had pretty good games. I'm still taking DJ Moore here.
Yep, we're both on. So we're 2 for 2. We're 2 for 2. We agree. Gosh, man.
What position do you want to go to now?
We're going to go to the third worst position in football. That's a running back. I hate running backs. They're so painful. They just come and go. You know, you have Ken Walker blow up 1 week, and the next week he's just injured, and you never know. You have Jonathan Taylor, can't play with a little broken finger. Can't play with a little broken finger. You know. Joe Mixon, Javonte Williams.
You're dying over there?
Yeah, I'm dying. I need some water.
So Joe Mixon and Javonte Williams. Let's pull up their projections here. Javonte Williams is at the Detroit Lions. Joe Mixon is going up against the Minnesota Vikings in Cincinnati. Their projections here, close on attempts, dead even on the receptions with 3 receptions. Both looking about the same amount of yards and touchdowns. However, for some reason, they're still projecting Joe Mixon to outscore Javonte Williams by 1.3 points this week. I'm probably one of the biggest fantasy haters on Javonte Williams, period. I know, Jace, I know you love Javonte. I don't. I know Chase Brown was a big waiver wire addition this year, this week specifically. However, Joe Mixon is still scoring touchdowns all the time. It seems like this dude always scores. And I'm probably wrong. He's probably got like 3 touchdowns this year. No, he's had 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks.
Stop stealing my research, bro.
I'm gonna. He went up against a good indie run stop defense and still put up 21 and a half points. I'm gonna go Joe Mixon here.
We're going Joe Mixon. Okay, so we have Joe Mixon versus the Minnesota Vikings, and then Denver is playing. I can't see the screen. I'm not looking at the screen.
It's not on that one, but it's on this one.
Yeah, it is. Denver's playing Detroit. That's a better matchup, kind of more. I don't know. It is on a primetime game, NFL Network. I love primetime players, but that being said, Javonte Williams, you're right. He's been totally meh. If he scores a touchdown, he's great. If he doesn't score a touchdown, you're just getting 70 yards on the ground. You're getting 7 points, maybe a catch or 2, maybe 10 points. Congratulations, double digit. He hasn't been really putting up the points against Minnesota, Cleveland, Houston. He was outside the top 23 every single time. Most likely a running back 3 in that time. You did not want to start him. Weeks before that against Kansas City and Buffalo, running back 1. Why? Because he scored touchdowns. Last week against the Chargers, wide receiver 1 again. Why? Because he scored a touchdown. So the bottom line is he's pretty much touchdown dependent. He's not getting the receptions we wanted from him. 3 catches in the past 3 weeks. And always, I'm not saying 3 total catches. It's 3 catches a game for the past 3 weeks. You want more from that, from your running back. You go on Joe Mixon, where he has been on a streak scoring touchdowns. That team seems motivated. That team seems I can't even say the word right now.
Rejuvenated.
I'm not going to pretend like I can say that word right now. My nose, my nasal is so messed up, still draining. But Joe Mixon has been a top 6 running back 3 out of the past 4 weeks. And he has been a touchdown scoring guy. Look at that. He scored a touchdown in every game since week 8, except for week 12 where he didn't. That's insane. He's been on a streak this year. He's been phenomenal. Over 100 total yards in the past 2 weeks. I'm also going Joe Mixon in this matchup. It sucks that we are agreeing every single time. I think we're going to disagree next, the next topic. I really do.
I think the tight ends. I think we are too. You only gave me two options for the tight end position. We'll talk about that once we get to the tight end. So you're going Joe Mixon. I'm going Joe Mixon.
And I will say this. Another reason why I'm going Joe Mixon is because of everything that the volume, the same reason for DJ Moore, the snap share, the opportunity share, the carries, right? He's top five in carries on the year for all running backs. You know, only like Josh Jacobs and a few others, probably Christian McCaffrey has carried the ball more, probably Derrick Henry. He's getting 72.5% of the snap share. Not many running backs get that. Yes, Chase Brown's getting more involved. I understand that, and he does look like the better running back, the more explosive running back, I should say. But Joe Mixon's top 10 in receptions, touchdowns, and receiving yards, 14th in rushing yards. The guy's getting it done this year. Good for Joe Mixon because he's been such a meh player his entire career. He does have his flashes, but, man, Joe Mixon's been solid for your team. Now we have tight ends.
You did this for a reason. And I understand it. I like the play here. But usually you give us four options for positions. You gave me two options to pick from this week. Trey McBride or Evan Engram. And we all know on this podcast specifically, I'm a huge Evan Engram guy. Dave is a huge Evan Engram guy. You're here to fight all of us because you are a Trey McBride guy. You hate Evan Engram. I know it. It's fine. It's understandable. You just didn't like him at the beginning. I said he was going to be a top five tight end. Nobody believed me. And now here he is at tight end five.
He's crushing, man. He's having a good year. I do want to say this. In his Giants days, I was a huge Evan Engram guy. He was my tight end to go. He was the guy I always got. He was the guy I always drafted. He would have these terrible games and then awesome games and terrible games, kind of like what he's doing now. He drops a lot of passes. He's very inconsistent, but he's so good when he does have the ball in his hand. So I have my son coming over here. You want to make an appearance? You want to make a run in? Yeah. Yeah, because you peed the bed.
Oh, no. This is going to be on the short.
That's totally fine, son. Go down there. Go to mama. And I'll be right back. He thinks showtime's 8 o'clock too, guys. I apologize. Man, I'm such a disaster. But anyway, going back to Trey McBride and Evan Engram, I loved Engram his entire career. Why was I so adamant that he won't be this good this year? Because he's never done it back-to-back seasons. He's never been that consistent. I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. I was wrong. So go ahead. Tell me why you're picking Evan Engram.
Okay, so let me give you some projections and some stats here. Another matchup here. We only picked the close ones that could actually be legitimate matchups and hard decisions for you to make in your fantasy season, especially going into the playoffs. They're both looking at about the same amount of receptions, you know, 1 point up on Evan Engram there, both the same amount of yards, both the same amount of touchdowns. Believe it or not, Evan Engram had not scored a single touchdown this year until 2 weeks ago. Can you believe that, Josh? Like 2 weeks ago against Cincinnati, he finally scored his first touchdown of the season, 9 for 9 on receptions. Last week, he went 11 for 12 on receptions with two touchdowns, 35 points, which was I think a career high for him. It might've just been a season high. I can't remember what I put on the graphic, to be honest with you, but it's going up against Baltimore this week, which is going to be a tough matchup. Baltimore is here to win. They're going up against the Jaguars, who are also there to try to get into the one seed. Baltimore's not going to play around with them. If Kyle Hamilton's back, I expect him to be on Evan Engram a lot. Trey McBride, on the other hand, going up against San Francisco, who we know is also trying to get the number one seed. This is a tough matchup. I'm not going to lie. This is a really hard one. I want to pick Evan Engram, but I don't know if I can just straight up pick Evan Engram, which is probably surprising to you. The biggest difference here for me, even though Evan Engram is getting more and more targets, we saw Zay Jones get like 12 targets last week. We saw Ridley get a bunch of targets. We see Evan Engram get a lot of targets. We see Travis Etienne get a lot of targets. That's four guys getting lots of targets. Do you know how many guys there are to get targets on the Cardinals?
One.
Trey McBride.
Yes. And that's the difference right there. That is the difference. Would it surprise you if I told you, which you probably know, Evan Engram has 701 receiving yards this season, 84 catches, and 3 touchdowns. Trey McBride, 610 receiving yards. Not even that far away from your boy Engram. 56 catches. And that's a pretty good amount. It's almost 30. 2 touchdowns. And he's played almost half the games Evan Engram has played. Trey McBride has been an absolute menace on the field. He leads all tight ends with catches since he's been the starter. Trey McBride is one of the most athletic tight ends you're going to see, and he's going to be a dominant top three tight end going forward, especially when Kelce retires. Look, I'm seeing these things on Twitter. Dynasty, who would you rather have, Laporta or McBride? Dynasty, who would you rather have? You know, Michael Mayer or McBride? McBride wins that one. But he doesn't beat out the Laportas. He doesn't beat out the other young guys that were drafted this year. Kincaid. People are all over Kincaid. People are overlooking McBride because he's an Arizona Cardinal. And that's okay. No one's putting up these numbers like him coming in halfway through the season with a broken-ass team where they're a bum-ass team. Seriously, they're a bum-ass team. And they're still putting up numbers. He's demanding almost 9 targets a game. What other tight end can do that? Can Kelce even do that this season? I don't think he is. Period. Trey McBride is my go-to this week because he is the number one target for Kyler Murray in that Arizona offense. Trey McBride has been dominating these linebackers and DBs trying to cover him for weeks, and he's not getting the recognition. Evan Engram's great too. He's a great option. Great option. But what you said matters. You got Calvin Ridley. You have Zay Jones. You have all these different other going interchangeable parts where there's only one ball. And yes, he's been balling out all season. But that's the point. He's been playing all season. And he's only a little bit over Trey McBride in the receiving game. Just a little bit, just a tad bit over. Shouldn't he be dominating him if he's that good? I'm just saying, I love Engram. I'm not saying he's a bad player. But this is a lot closer than people think. He's a lot, and Trey McBride's going to make some waves, and he's going to be a trendy guy this offseason. He's going to be one of those guys we talk about. Where do we draft him? Is he up there with the Hawkinsons? Is he up there with the Kincaids, these young guys, or is he just a flash in the pan player? But no, he's not, because he's been doing this ever since he got the starting role. Trey McBride, for me, is a tight end one. Going forward, rest of season, set it and forget it, unless you have Kelce or Hawkinson. Or I don't want to say Engram because I like McBride's matchup a lot better. But again, set it, forget it. Ingram's gotta be your guy. Or McBride.
So I'm gonna clip the part where you said Ingram's gotta be your guy, and it's just done.
I like it.
The only thing that I worry about here, I love them both. They're great players. I just don't have Trey McBride anywhere because I have Evan Engram everywhere. San Francisco 49ers, they are the fourth toughest to get points for against the tight end position. If you're a tight end, Baltimore, 8th toughest. So Evan Engram technically has the better matchup against the defense. You mentioned all those weeks where Evan Engram wasn't producing. He also wasn't. He was fighting up against 5 people. Now he's only fighting up against 4. I think Trevor Lawrence has found his reliable target. It's come late in the season. Again, he obviously trusts him a lot more. He's getting the most targets he's ever had all season right now. And, of course, Sleeper had to go ahead and just close his thing there. Yeah, so he's getting the most targets. He averages about 7 or 8 targets a game. He got 12 last week. He's got the most receptions he's ever had all season. Most touchdowns he's had all season against Cleveland. That's not an easy team to score points against. I'm still going to go with Engram here. This is where we still will differ. I know I teetered. I thought I was going to pick Trey McBride, but I think I'm going to go back to my old reliable tight end 5. He's been tight end 5 the last 2 seasons. I'm going to go with my tight end 5 and take Evan Engram.
I don't hate you for that at all. Honestly, they're both great starts. This was a great episode, as in how close these matchups have been.
Yeah. And hopefully this discussion helped you. I mean, we straight up told you take Stafford, DJ Moore, and Joe Mixon. However, hopefully this one specifically helps you make your decision, whether you like my argument, Josh's argument, whoever's argument, maybe Dave's on Twitter.
Dave won't do anything on Twitter.
Dave won't do anything on Twitter. It's fine. But hopefully that did help you.
Which is good. You know what? All you people need to back off Twitter. Like, just chill. Take a chill pill. Right? I got people calling their other people's moms fat over football. It's guys, it's football.
Yeah. You don't even play the sport. Like, get over it.
Something that's all these jokes about Patrick Mahomes and he's this and he's that. Guys, they're all human beings.
It's funny, though. That one's funny.
Yeah, but just chill out, everyone. Just chill. Everyone just relax. Like, oh, my goodness. Anyway, we're going to wrap this show up. We don't really have any people left in here. Y'all left. Congratulations. Get your night early. Go watch AEW Dynamite. That's what I'm going to do. You'll hear this song on AEW Dynamite. The world champion, MJF, will be on tonight. Make sure you follow us on X. Twitter is what I call it. Instagram, TikTok, all of it. OUSFF Pod. Make sure you follow our network, our wonderful network. Great people. Make sure you watch all of our shows and support it. At InStock Sports Network. You can catch me tomorrow night. I'll be talking wrestling. I'll be talking wrestling tomorrow night here at 8 o'clock by myself, by the way. I have no co-host. It's going to be tough. Guys, I hope you win your matchups. I hope you go to the next round. If you're on a bye week, enjoy the week. Put your feet up. Drink some beer. Do whatever you got to do. Enjoy. Guys, we're out of here. We'll see you next time. Dynasty Friday. Catch us at noon.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you watch or listen to podcasts. Follow on X and Instagram at OUSFFPOD. We'll be back next week for more ways to win your league.